Mountain Magic by Susan Barry, part of the Romance by Ida Pollock collection, narrated by Jerry Allen for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. The man on the ledge above the little green plateau could see the girl plainly, and he knew she was afraid to move either backwards or forwards. She was afraid to go on climbing, and she was terrified to go down by the way she had come. She was a slender girl in shorts. His lip curled as he reflected how addicted the English were to the wrong type of clothing for the region they were in, and her legs looked very long and slim, and were tanned to the pale hue of honey. Her hair was a soft brown cap that had intrigued him when he saw her for the first time 2 nights ago, in the lounge of the Mountain Hotel where she and her employer were staying. It was absolutely straight hair, and he supposed it was really mouse-coloured, but she had cut it in a short, straight fringe that drew attention to her large, uneasy eyes. He began to wonder whether they were always uneasy, always apprehensive, as if she was always fearing the worst, and fearing the worst had become a kind of obsession with her. Of course, with an employer like hers, it was not, perhaps, so surprising. The woman was a harridan, a kind of human harpy, and the girl was having her spirit slowly drained away from her. Apart from that, she had a pretty, drooping mouth and a flower-like throat, but few men would ever direct a second look at her, and if they did, she would shy away like a frightened colt, sending them a startled look back out of those dark blue eyes of hers that were like gentians clinging shyly to the summit of a mountain, and then retreat into herself like a rabbit into a burrow. His mixed similes amused him, and he smiled. The night he saw her in the hotel, the fat, gross woman who paid her her salary had been reproving her, in a voice the whole room couldn't fail to overhear, for getting her knitting wool into a tangle. She hadn't held the skein right while the other wound, and the woman had snatched it off her hands and ordered her to fetch another from her room. "From the top drawer of my dressing table, and whatever you do, don't make a mess of my things. You're so clumsy, so infuriatingly clumsy, that I hesitate to ask you to do anything at all." She glanced round the lounge, with wooden walls and ibex horns adorning it, and quite plainly invited sympathy. But all she received were blank stares, while the girl fled. The man on the ledge thought of all the things that could be done to an unpleasant old woman like that, and of all the dangers that might possibly beset her if she ever ventured, like the girl on the plateau below him, right up here into the heart of the mountains, instead of taking quiet strolls on a level with her hotel. And then he carefully and casually lit himself a cigarette, while he watched the slim shape lying pressed to the short, sweet grass below him, and he knew that she was perspiring in sheer panic. She didn't dare to lift her head. She certainly didn't dare to stand up. She had been seized with a relentless vertigo that she couldn't overcome because her fascinated gaze was directed downwards to the valley, and he knew that her pupils were mere pinpricks of magnetised dread, like the pupils of the rabbit when it sees the stoat. The sun shone brazenly from a clear heaven, and there was a constant chirping of crickets from the green slopes all around, an endless beating of emerald green wings amongst the harebells, and the early autumn crocuses that blossom there. Down in the valley there was little or no movement, because the cows were all up in the high pastures, but there was an occasional flash of a scythe as a haymaker worked on a small plot. The thought of him standing on the edge of a dizzy drop made the girl shudder, as if a sudden gust of wind had caught at her, and she closed her eyes for an instant to shut out the bright glare. The dark woods, the silver streams like ribbons running down from the heights, and above all, the peaks themselves, aloof, majestic, but cruel, utterly indifferent to human frailty. She had been so eager to get nearer to them, and now, with their light powdering of snow that had survived the blistering heat of summer, they kept advancing and retreating, as if they were part of a swaying backcloth. The man on the ledge called down to her clearly, "What are you afraid of?" Tony's heart lurched with surprise, and then she dared to put back her head and gaze up at him.